Reuven has a son who took a 6-year-old, say, and he took his father's hammer and he decided to, you know, experiment with it, see what happens when you bang a hammer around. And he decided to tap on his neighbor's windows with the hammer, and he went right through it. Right, so Shimon, the neighbor, says, "Your son broke my window." And Reuven says, "What am I supposed to do? He's a child. Did you speak to him?" Right? "I didn't do it. He did it. He has his own mind of his own. He never listens to me anyway. Why should I be responsible for what he did?" So who's right? So it's a Feirush Mishnah. The Mishnah Baba Kama, the Pei Zayin Amad Aleph, says, "Cheirish Shelta V'Katan," a deaf mute. In the times of the Gemara, deaf mutes, times the Mishnah, did not have any mind, didn't have any das, any sense. Right now, the poskim say that, you know, from Helen Keller, we've learned how to find methods to teach them so they don't have this din anymore. But in the times of the Mishnah, certainly a cheirish was someone who couldn't communicate with the world, so he didn't have any sense. So he's like a shota and like a katan. Right? Cheirish shota v'katan. A deaf mute, a shota, someone who's an imbecile, someone who's deranged, and a katan, someone who's not bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah. Kigiyasin ra, it's bad news if you meet up with one of them. Right? Don't walk into them in a dark alley. Why? Because a chavav hen chayiv. If you hurt one of those three people, they're regular people, so you are responsible to pay for the damage you inflicted upon them. But if they damage other people, right, this katan, that's what we're talking about tonight, a katan went, a boy less than bar mitzvah, girl less than bas mitzvah went and damaged someone else, keturin. They are patur. That katan would be patur. The Mishnah continues, I didn't print this out, it was hard squeezing everything on. The Mishnah says the same thing as with an Eved and an Isha. A servant or a woman, they also, it's bad news to meet up with one of them. Hachol b'hem, if someone damages one of them, chayev, he's chay because he damaged a human being. V'heim shechol b'achayim, and if they damage others, they're patun, they're pater, because they don't have any money of their own. A woman's, all her money belongs to her husband, and a slave, his money belongs to his master. Any kind, either their property damaged or they damaged the person or his property. So the Eved and Isha are—they are also spanus to meet them, except our Misham Lachman. They have to pay at a later time. They'll have to pay later. So the Mishnah seems to clearly be saying that a katan who damaged someone else. A katan who damaged is a pater. He's not a bar das. He's not responsible for his actions. And the Rosh says that clearly. The Rosh asks a kasha. Why is there a difference between the case of a katan and a woman? He says a woman who gets divorced has to pay because she was a responsible party. When she was married, she didn't have any money. Anything she owned belonged to her husband. So now that she's divorced, she has money of her own. She has to pay for the damages that she inflicted when she was married. A katan, though, he says, or a cheirish and shota, these types of people who don't have any mind of their own, they don't have a sufficient mind at least, so they're not chayiv, even when they grow up. Right? That's the other issue here. We have really two issues. First of all, is the father responsible for the hammer blow to the window, and how about the katan himself? When he becomes a bar mitzvah, is he going to have to pay then? Right? It's a double issue. Do you have the right one? Do you have the one tonight? Yeah, okay. So, that's going to be a double issue. So the Rosh says, even when the katan grows up, he's not responsible. Because he was not a bar das. He didn't do something as a functioning, responsible human being. He was a katan. So even when he grows up, he's not going to be responsible for what he did. So this Reuven's son who went and damaged the property next door, we said right away, it's up to Reuven didn't do it, his katan did it. And the katan, the Mishnah says clearly, is not chayiv because he's not responsible for his actions. He's not bar mitzvah. And even when he grows up, even when he becomes a bar mitzvah, and this is something that, you know, it would be no geyas. Right? We could think back to our school days and all the you know, different things we stole from our friends and the schools and the parents and.
Right.
Even if he was 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old. You see the two psukim in the Shulchan Aruch I have here. Choshen Mishpat Tav Chav Dalet, it says, Hachov v'chei v'shvetiv v'katan chayiv. If they were chov others, their potter, even though they got better or even though he grew up, because when they damaged, they weren't in a das. And then in Simon Shin Mem Tes, he says the same thing about stealing. That if a katan stole, even though he stole on purpose, when he grows up, he doesn't have to pay back the stolen property unless he still has it. Or if someone sold an eraser from school, and you still have the eraser from your elementary school, and you're, you know, like you're showing your kids, so you should return that because it's here, right? But if you don't, if the thing's not here anymore, so what can you do? The Shulchan Aruch paskins that a katan's not responsible, and it's meduyuk from the Mishnah because the Mishnah here said that the chayushad of a katan are potter. By Isha it said, but when the Isha gets divorced, she has to pay. They didn't say that. When the katan grows up, he has to pay. Because a katan, even when he grows up, does not have to pay. Because when he damaged, he was, like the Rosh says, he was not a bar das, he was not responsible for his actions. And so when he grows up, he doesn't have to pay for the damage he inflicted.
So the woman is married, she's not liable.
Right, that's assuming that she does not have any property of her own. Nowadays, that's not so applicable because, especially if you have tenoyim, the tenoyim say that we're splitting the property between the husband and the wife, so then she has property of her own. It's just a technicality because she has no money to pay.
And the same thing.
An eved, right, an eved has no money of his own. Everything the eved has belongs to his master. So he's a Jewish person and he's responsible for his actions, he's bar mitzvah, but he doesn't have any money to pay. So when he gets freed, so then he'll have to pay for whatever he damaged. So at this point, we would say it's really piggy osin ra. It's bad news if you meet up with a katan, because the katan is going to, if he damages you, you can't claim against the father. The father didn't do it. You can't make a claim against the katan because he wasn't a bar daya, and you can't even wait for his bar mitzvah. Right? It's the opposite of the story of the stipler. You know the story of the stipler when he was older. He had a minion right in his neighborhood. He never walked out of the neighborhood, except there was one child that was bar mitzvah. He said he wanted to walk. It was a few blocks away. And like everyone wondered, why does he want to go to this child's bar mitzvah? Like, he was a lot of bar mitzvahs in the neighborhood. So he said, because when the child was very young, when he wasn't bar mitzvah, the stipler had insulted him somehow. I'm sure it wasn't, you know, he didn't say, you know, you have a funny hat on today. Like, whatever it was, he thought he had slighted this katan. So he couldn't ask mechila from the katan because the katan's not a bar daya to be malchlan. So he had to wait till the day he became bar mitzvah so he could ask the katan for mechila. Right? So it works in that direction, but it doesn't work the other direction. Right? If the katan did something, so that when he becomes bar mitzvah, he doesn't all of a sudden become responsible because when he did it, he wasn't a bar daya. That's the choshen mishpat. That's the halacha in choshen mishpat. But if you recall from a few months ago, we had a Gemara on Baba Kama. The Gemara on Baba Kama was talking about Dina de Garmi, the case of Soros Shtarosov. If someone burnt someone, Shtaros, we were talking about burning lottery, someone's winning lottery ticket at that time. Right? So we said that even though the lottery ticket doesn't have real value, you have to it's something used to cash in, but since it's Miyad is direct and Zbari Hizekas a clear damage. If someone burns someone's lottery ticket or someone's other Shtarchov, he's responsible for Dina de Garmi. The Gemara then said this case, that there was a case that the Gemara just says, Kofia Rafam Ravashi, Rafram forced Ravashi Va'agri Be Kikashur Latzama, and he made him pay the best property for something that Rashi explains Rav Ashi had damaged when he was a child. Rashi understands the Gemara is saying like this, that Rav Ashi was a below bar mitzvah, he went and he burnt someone's shtaros. He went and burnt someone's winning lottery ticket. So he wasn't responsible. But now that he became bar mitzvah, Rafram forced Rav Ashi to pay. So all the Rishonim, the Achronim, they all ask, what's going on? We just said that a katan is pater, even when he gets older. That was the diyuk from Bava Kama. What's going over here? That Rav enforced Rav Ashi to pay. He's not responsible even for what he did when he was a katan. So Goros Hashri learns from this Gemara in Bava Kama, like Rashi. He says that the Gemara in Bava Kama, I don't know what he does with the deal, you know, the difference between the katan and the isha, but he says that which we said, a katan is pater, is only when he's a katan, only when he's a minor. But as soon as he grows up, as soon as he becomes a bar mitzvah, so he's responsible to pay for all the damages that he inflicted. And his proof is from the case with Rafam and Rav Ashi. Right? Rafam forced Rav Ashi to pay. Now, most poskim disagree with the Hagos Hashri. In fact, we saw Choshe Mishpat, the Shulchan Aruch disagrees with him. Right? The Hagos Hashri would have written in his Shulchan Aruch clearly that when he becomes older, he has to pay. So we poskim not like the Hagos Hashri and Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. The question we have, though, is what do we do with the Gemara? Or it's we who are saying, and if we're just not talking lumdas, it has to be interesting anyway. There's going to be like four different answers, which are interesting, but it will come out a nachdamina in halacha also. There'll be a difference, a practical, legal difference on these answers. So let's use our heads now to try to figure out if the Gemara, if it's a Beferish or Mishnah. The Mishnah seems, and it seems to be saying, the diyuk of the Rosh seems to be clear, if a katan is not, certainly not chayiv to pay for something he damages now when he's katan, what happens? Why should Rafam have forced Rav Ashi to pay? I mean, the simplest answer, this one I'll tell you, the simplest answer is Rav Moshe. And there's also, I saw Tiferet Shmuel in Rosh as also, he says that it's wrong. It's a wrong shot in the Gemara. Right? Because you have the same Gemara in Ksuvas. Rashi says a different shot in the Gemara in Ksuvas. The same exact Gemara, Rashi in Ksuvas explains it differently. He says that Rav Ashi was a dayon, and he had made a wrong decision and had paskin that it was the person that burnt the lottery ticket was Pater. So Rafam said, you made a mistake, Rav Ashi, and he forced Rav Ashi to pay for his wrong decision. Right? And that's why Rashi... Huh?
Not a case of a cotton
at all. Okay? That's the way Rav Moshe understands it. He says that's why we pass on like Choshe Mishpat, and he just ignores the whole issue. He says a cotton who damages is not chayiv, and even when he grows up, he's not chayiv. But not everyone agrees with that. They all try to deal to try to find some way of fitting this Rashi into the Shulchan Aruch. Any ideas? He was his Rebbe, and that he held it that he should. And he doesn't enforce, means he's convinced him, maybe, right? He said, it's right for you, like someone said, you know, for you, you're a Rashi, maybe. But that's Rav Aaron Valkin, the safe we introduced last week, the Choshen Aaron. He says, Apshat, he says, good. Rav enforced Rav Ashi, but what did Rav Ashi hold? Rav Ashi, apparently, held he didn't have to. Rav Ashi was the God of Adar, he's the Postik Adar, he's the one that wrote the whole Gemara. He's, his Sanhedrin is who we pass him like. So what did Rav Ashi hold? Rav Ashi held that I don't have to pay because, well, I did it when I was a katan and I don't have to pay now. So the Choshen Aaron says, very simply, we pass him like the Gemara in, like the Mishnah in Bava Kama, the Psak of Shulchan Aruch in Shin Mem Tes, is correct, that's where he writes it in Shin Mem Tes, and he says, there's no problem with the Gemara in Bava Kama, the Gemara later on, the Dap Tzadi Ches, because Rafam held you had to pay, but Rav Ashi disagreed. Rav Ashi says, I don't have to pay. And we pass like Rav Ashi, like we pass like Rav Ashi all over, right? So that's an easy way out. The Shvus Yaakov says, there's no contradiction between the Gemara and this case. And in fact, let's introduce the last thing we have on the handout, on the first page of the handout. The Raman Arachayim says a halacha. A katan shirika is aviv, if a katan hit his father when he was before bar mitzvah. Oh, av shara aveiros bekatnusu, or he violated other aveiros when he was a katan. Like he stole or he damaged some property. Even though he doesn't need to do tshuva when he grows up, because he was a katan. What do you expect from a katan? Right? He was a katan. He doesn't need to do tshuva when he grows up. Mikamakom tovlo shi kavula atzma isn't over the tshuva lechapar. It's proper for him, like Zvi was saying, it's proper for him to accept something for a tshuva and for a kapar, that he should have some atonement for what he did. Afapi even though he did the aveira before he had become of age, before he was subject to punishment. And this is from a Trumas Hadeshin. The Trumas Hadeshin in the Psokim Simin Samach Beis Right? I think that's on the handout also. It's pressing on the second page of the handout. He's had the shaila. Someone had hit his father when he was in this case. When he was a katan, he wanted to know, does he have to do tshuva now? So the Truma Sedeshin brings a beautiful raya that he shouldn't have to do tshuva. Because his halacha, that suppose you see a katan doing an aveir. You see a katan eating something that's treif. Right? Do you have to stop him from eating that treif? Well, you can't feed him something treif that's also made a raisa, but a besdin, the raisa is a besdin, it's not mitzvah to be mafresh someone from doing a katan from doing this, because a katan doesn't have any mitzvahs. A besdin doesn't have to stop a katan from doing any isurin. Right? We have arvis for people that have our mitzvah, but for a katan, you don't have to stop a katan from doing an aveira. Now, if it would be, this is what the Truma Sedeshin says, if when a katan does an aveira, there's any pigam, there's anything bad that has to be cleansed from what he did, why don't we stop him? Why isn't everyone responsible to stop this bad thing from happening to the poor katan? It must be that he's a katan, right? He's a katan, and what he does doesn't affect him. Sort of, there are many posts in that hold that if you see a gadol, you see a regular bar mitzvah, a regular person doing an isur d'rabbanan, and he doesn't realize it, so you don't have to stop him from doing that isur d'rabbanan. Right? Because they say, they bring a raya from the Nesiva, says it brings a raya from Tosfos, that if someone's doing an isur d'raisa, so if someone's eating chassis from something that's treif, so someone eats something treif, that messes up his neshama. So if you see someone messing up his neshama, even if he doesn't know about it, you want to stop him. But an issur d'rabbanan is something that's only osim d'rabbanan. It's a rabbinic decree. So if the chachamim said, don't eat chicken together with milk because you might come to eat meat with milk, so there's nothing intrinsically wrong with eating chicken and milk. It's not intrinsically wrong. Or if they say you're not allowed to carry in a place, even though it's not a Rishus HaRabim, you can't carry into a street, even though it's not a real Rishus HaRabim, because you might carry into a real street, and that's why we have Erevin. So if there's no Erev there's nothing intrinsically wrong. It's just because you're not doing what the Chachamim said to do. But if you didn't know about it, it's a mistake, you didn't realize that the Erev was down, so then the halacha would be, according to many poskim, that you don't have to stop the person from doing it because he's not doing anything wrong. Right? He doesn't realize that he's violating an Issur d'Rabbanan, and the only problem with Issur d'Rabbanan is having to listen to what the Chachamim say, and he doesn't know he's not listening to them. If it's an Issur d'Raisa, we stop him. So sort of that same logic that Truma Sedeshin is saying, right, there is a Machlokes Poskim about that, but I'm just, there is something.
No, it's wrong with d'Raisa. Let's say he's doing something with d'Raisa.
Because treif messes up our system. If we eat treif, it messes up our system. If we eat something that's only osim d'rabbanan, it doesn't mess up our system. What we've done is we've rebelled against the words of the Chachamim. But if we're not rebelling, it was a mistake. We didn't realize that it was an osim d'rabbanan. So then we haven't done something that hurts us intrinsically. Right? That's the difference. So the katan also, the Truma Sedeshin says, must be not doing something that's hurting his neshama, because otherwise, why would we let him do it? We should stop him. It must be that he's not doing anything wrong, and that's why he doesn't have to do tshuva when he gets older. Just like someone who did an Issur d'Rabbanan, Bishogeg, this Tosfos says, does not have to do tshuva when he found out that there was an Issur d'Rabbanan. Like if someone carried and realized afterwards that the error was down on Shabbos, so he doesn't have to do tshuva if he had only walked in a place that would be only Issur d'Rabbanan. So that's the way the Truma Sedeshin starts. But the Truma Sedeshin concludes, the Nira Nami. But then he says, but it also appears, if you look into the Gemara well, I think he might mean this Gemara that we have over here in Bava Kamma, the case with Rafram, it's still a bad thing. It's a simin ra, it's a bad omen that the katan had things, damages come out of his hands. And that's why it's good, and he says to Lashon, it's good that he should be mekabel eza kapara. He should accept upon himself some form of atonement. Right? So, this was Yaakov uses as his source to say that even though the Gemara in Bava Kamma, the Mishnah in Bava Kamma says a katan is not responsible for his actions, he's not chayav to pay anything for what he did even when he gets older, that's me'ikar adin. That's a pi dinei bezdin. But there's a din, let's say, Yidei Shamayim, that Rishmas Yaakov says is a din losses yidei shamayim. That's where he understands the Trumas Adeshin, that he has to do some form of tshuva. So losses yidei shamayim. Except the Shmos Yaakov says from the Lashon of the Trumas Adeshin, which also the Ramaz said. The Ramaz said he should be mekabel eizah dover l'tshuva, something. He should be mekabel, he should accept upon himself to do something for a tshuva. You don't see from this clearly, the Shmos Yaakov says, that you have to pay penny for penny. Like if you broke this guy's window and it cost him $100 to repair, and now you became bar mitzvah, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, your father doesn't have to tell you to set aside $100 for when you become bar mitzvah from your bar mitzvah money and pay him. He just said, look, this thing happened, it's a bad thing that it should just go unanswered, so do something for a tshuva. The Shmos Yaakov says, when Shimon has Reuven bar mitzvah offer come to his house and offering him $25 for the window, he should be nice to him. Right, even though, what do you mean, you broke my $100 window, you're giving me only $25 because Shimon and Reuven's bar mitzvah bacher doesn't have to pay anything, Me'ikaredin. And what he's doing is, Lossi's Lady Shemite have some kapara, so you should accept it well. That is the second way of handling, or the third way, that's the third way of handling this Gemara. The first way is to say, Rashi's wrong. Right? Rashi's Shana Ktuvos is right. The second way, Choshen Aruch is the second way to say that Rashi's right, except Rafam's wrong, or Rashi's right. The third shot is this Shlos Yaakov. Right? I remember it was your answer. And now we have Shlos Yaakov's answer that the Gemara is only talking, the Mishnah is talking about Bidei Adam, and the Gemara in Bava Kama, Rafam and Rav Ashi were talking about Lassi's Bidei Shemayim. Nachal Yitzchak says a little bit, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan says a little bit more. He says that it could be that even though a katan is patur from all mitzvahs, when it comes to things that b'nei noach are chayiv on, it's one of the seven mitzvahs that everyone, even Gagim, are responsible for, including damages. So it could be that there that he has a whole lamdas. So it could be that there's no shiurim of bar mitzvah then, and even someone who's not bar mitzvah will be chayiv. He could be chayiv me'ikar adin. Right? That's just, he's saying it's more than a losi sevid shaman. He's saying that you really chayiv me'ikar adin because if a 7-year-old non-Jew went and damaged a window, he'd be responsible. So a 7-year-old Jew who damages something shouldn't be responsible. That which we say a katan is not chayiv until he's bar mitzvah, that's only in things that are all Jewish law, but things that apply to b'nei noach as well, so then that would apply to even a non-bar mitzvah Yisrael. Now all this is well, except we're still waiting for the last teretz, because we still don't have a really good shot in the Gemara. Right? Even if we go with the Shmos Yaakov or this Nachal Yitzchak now, even if we go to the Shmos Yaakov and say, and fit together the Halach and Arachayim, together with Halach and Choshen Mishmah, right? We want to say that the Gemara, the Mishnah and Bava Kama, is talking about Bidei Adam, and that's what we pass in Choshen Mishmah. Bidei Adam, in human terms, we can, a mortal basin can't us to pay something that we damaged when we were less than by mitzvah, right? That's what we'll say. But losses the day shemayim, or maybe even the yikar adin, losses the day shemayim, it's good to pay for it anyway, because, you know, like I feel bad, and when I was a kid I did all that damage, I should want to pay for it, to make up for it, right? That's a nice shot to answer this theory. In fact, that's the way the Mishnah Berurah passes, even that there's a din losses to the Beis Hamayim to pay for our damages, whether it's the whole amount or not. He seems to be master the whole amount. But what do we do with the story with Rafram and Rav Ashi? Why didn't Rav Ashi want to do it? Right? Rafram forced Rav Ashi. Why did Rav Ashi refuse? Right? The answer we said before is because Rav Ashi held you don't have to. But he says it's based on our Gemara in Bava Kama. It's based on another Gemara that says Yoshiyahu, when he was a king, returned all the things that he passed in wrong when he was less than bar mitzvah. Right? There's a few Mikaros. So why didn't Rav Ashi? Why didn't Rav Ashi want to be lost in Sikh Shaman? He's a chashuv person. So the Erev Shai comes to the rescue. He's the only pshat I saw that really answers all these questions. And he says a very nice pshat in the Gemara. He says, what's it mean? There's a din to be Lotzei Slidei Shamayim. Right? Mikar Adin, the Mishnah said, that if a cotton damage, he doesn't have to pay even when he becomes a gadol, because he wasn't responsible for his actions when he was a kohen. He's not responsible for that. That's Mi'ikar Adin. But Lotzei Slidei Shamayim, you should pay when you get older. So the Erech Shai says, but suppose if when you were a gadol, you were in chayiv to pay this thing Mi'ikar Adin. Suppose you did something when you were if you had been a gadol, if you had already been more than bar mitzvah, you did something that meyikra din, you wouldn't be chayav for, say like a grama. You damage something through a grama, through like very indirectly, like we had last week, you know, to pay for the rental that he has to have his car while his car is being repaired. That's a grama. You don't have to pay that b'day adam. That a court can't force you to pay. It's only b'day shamayim. It's only something that they force you to pay b'day shamayim. Right, so I suppose a cousin damaged, you know, with his hammer and nail he chiseled into the tires of the guy's car, and he had to have his car towed in for the one day. He had to rent the car. So the Eruv Chai says, you can't tell me that a katan will have to pay for that when he gets older, roughly for the day shemayim, because then he'll be no different than a gadol. Right? If a gadol is only chayiv roughly for the day shemayim to pay that damage, so when he's a katan, he has to be one step less. He has to be one step lower, and not even chayiv roughly for the day shemayim. So the machlokas, he says, between Rav and Rav Ashi was like this. Rav Ashi held that we don't have to pay for garmi. He didn't hold that. That's the whole machlokas. The Gemara over there. Rav Ashi didn't hold that you have to pay dina de garmi. So according to Rav Ashi, even if you're a gadol, you only have to pay bidei shamayim. So when you're a katan, you don't have to pay at all. But Rafram said, no, we are doing din de garmi, like we said in week number 3. You are chayav to pay for garmi damages when you're a gadol. So therefore, when you're a katan, so then you have to pay losses for the shamayim. Right, so the Gemara works out beautifully. And from this Gemara, we can now have this principle that even things that I damaged when I was a katan, I'm exempt from all human courts when I become of age. But losses l'idei shamayim, at least the Shulchan Aruch says some payment, or the way the Nachli Yitzchak would say you have to pay the whole thing. The Eruv Chai doesn't deal with that part. But when I become a gadol, losses l'idei shamayim, I should have to pay for some of those damages. The only reason Rav Ashi didn't do it was because he held even if he had been a gadol, he would only be chayiv to pay losses l'idei shamayim. So now that he's a katan, he's one step lower, and he doesn't have to pay at all. Right, that was he was burning stars. He burned some stars.
So you don't have to pay
because if he was a gadol, according to Ravashi Shita, he'd only have to pay losses l'idei shamayim. So now that he's a katan, it's one step less. Right? Ruffin said no, and that's what we pass him. We pass him, you have to pay din adik, I mean, mi'ikar adin. So when you're a katan, you only have to pay losses l'idei shamayim. Right? So that's the result. So from that comes this halacha and arachayim, right? The both halachas work out. The choshen mishra halacha is meyikar adin. A person, when he becomes a gadol, does not have to pay for his damages. But the halacha and arachayim, the Ramah Paskin, like the Shema Sedesh, and like this case that Rashi explains, the way Rashi explains it, like another Gemara in Sanhedrin, a person should pay for things that he did when he was a katan. The losses for day shemayim. Whether it has to pay dollar for dollar or not, that's subject to interpretation. The Ramah is mashma to pay eza kapara, chayv eza kapara. Right, so that's the simple halachos. Now, the case we started with, we said that the child had taken his father's hammer. So that might be worse, because there the father might be responsible. Until now, the father isn't responsible for anything. But if he takes a hammer, so if the hammer should have been better watched, there's a halacha that if a chicken takes a bucket and does damages with it, so the owner of the bucket is responsible for not keeping his dangerous object in check. He shouldn't leave it where someone could make damages with it. So if the hammer should have been watched better and the cotton went and did it, so then the father could be responsible for it. And not only that, I heard from the Rosh Hashiva Shlita that the minig is that fathers do pay for damages their children do. I mean, it's not alfi halacha, you can't force them to the Torah, but that's the minig. And why is that? So Rav Spitz says, because it's a good idea, because we're saying that the katan who did damage when he was a katan is going to need to do something when he becomes a gadol to do tshuva. I suppose he doesn't remember that he broke that window, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. He probably tries to forget it. Right? So he doesn't remember it. So at least the father should pay for the damage in the meantime for something his katan actually did. So then the father possibly should pay it to help avoid his son from having onshe. And then he concludes also, he says, like, if you live a certain, if you live in an apartment house, but you don't have to stay in an apartment house, but, you know, he says, like, you know, one day, you know, your cousin just threw the baseball in your next door neighbors, and the next day you're going to want to, you know, get a variance to build an extension to your house, and the neighbor's angry at you from 10 years ago, and you didn't pay him $100. He just, you know, I can't say that's halacha, but he does say that it might be in a person's better interest to keep his neighbors happy, and if his children did do damage, to you know, make good for it, just as a practical advice. But, you know, that's beyond the realm of halacha. But there's other idea to save his child from possible onshin that he says might be a possible reason. And the truth is, I mean, if Rosh Hashiva was saying that there is a minhag to pay for the children's damages, I think it also might be part of this idea here that, you know, children just have a short leash or a long leash, they can do whatever they want. It's not so great for society, and we should learn to have better control of children, know what they're doing. And I think that's just putting it in perspective. Right, right, that would be a thin official, but I to take money, I suppose the father takes money from his, you know, his grandparents' birthday money and pay the thing off, will that help? It probably is no worse than if the father pays for it himself.
Well, what about then when the child is
So, if the damage has been paid for, so it's been paid for, whether now he should, as a gadol, ask mechila, so, you know, or do tshuva for what he did, that, you know, that he still should do.